Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are thankful that you have tuned in and you are a part of this day. This evening, we are going to be moving into a topic that I think that most of you are familiar with. We're going to try to interpreted and then more so related to an everyday practice that we all go through as the body of Christ. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, then we're going to move directly on into the message. For those of you who have tuned in by internet, we are an interactive Bible study, and what is that? That means that you have an opportunity to participate. Amen. All you have to do is call in the numbers 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Call in and you can participate. Amen. You would come up on the line and we leave all the lines open. So all you have to do is just talk. Amen. All you have to do is just talk. We do ask that those of you who are online, who are listening, make sure that you mute your phone or your mic or whatever you're using to communicate, because we can hear everything in the background. Amen. And when you get ready to talk, just open it up and you just, whatever you have to say, will open up the mic for you. Keep in mind also that anything that has been shared on Blog Talk Radio with New Beginnings, you can go to the archives and you can pull it up. Amen. You would go to Blog Talk Radio, and then you would type in We Can Begin Again. Once you type in We Can Begin Again, that will give you access to all the archived messages that we've been on, and I think there's over 300, I would probably say. So you have a number of messages that you can go and you can share the gospel with someone that you are concerned about, even if it's like listening to music. Amen. Sit down and just listen to a message that may be appealing to you or may be appealing to whatever it is that you are trying to share with your loved one, friend, or whomever it may be. We are the body of Christ, and our purpose is to proclaim the gospel by whatever way that we can. Amen. May it be verbal, may it be reading the word, may it be listening to Blog Talk Radio, New Beginnings, going to church and hearing your pastor share the word. Amen. It's about growth. It's about growth. It's about maturity in Christ. It's a relationship that we have. As we move forward, we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to open up with a message. Keep in mind, we are an interactive Bible study, so we are going to open up the mics and ask for responses. Oftentimes, or sometimes, we do get those who are online. The lines are full, and everyone is just listening or just being fed on the word. That's okay, too. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. You are the beginning and you are the end. We thank you, Father, for being here before the beginning of time. And we thank you for knowing, Father, that you're coming after our time is over. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for living on this earth, and we thank you for life in heaven and eternity. We thank you for that. We thank you for all those who are listening this day, Heavenly Father, even those that wanted to be on who were not, who do not have an opportunity to get on. We thank you for them as well. Father, let your word be a light to our path, Heavenly Father, as we journey in this world, Heavenly Father, attempting to be more like you. We know, Father, that we do stumble. We know, Heavenly Father, that we fall short. But we thank God that you are a loving and a forgiving God. We thank you for that, Heavenly Father. And as if there's anything that we've done that's displeasing in your eyesight, we ask for your forgiveness, Father. Please forgive us, Heavenly Father. Let us, when we fall down, pick us up, wipe us off, and let us continue the race, Heavenly Father, because it's all about you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for what you're going to do. It's in the majestic name, Father, we pray for the sick and afflicted, those, Heavenly Father, that ask, or publicly or even privately, Heavenly Father. We're asking for a special prayer for them, Heavenly Father. Those who have lost loved ones, we are asking for a special prayer for them, Heavenly Father. Those who are in the nursing home, we're asking for a special prayer for them. Those, Father, who are afflicted in their homes, we're asking for prayer for them. You know their needs, Father. We ask that you would come and that you would see about your children. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we lift this up by faith and not by sight. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. As we move forward on this, we are looking at its mother to child, mother to child. And we're coming from the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, 1 through 13. And as we go through this, we're going to try to interpret it the way that God has laid it on our hearts, and we're going to also open it up for those of you that may have a different interpretation that you might want to share with the body of Christ. Amen. We come together, we sit, and we eat together. Amen. It's not saying that one has a better food than the other or a better interpretation. We are coming together to feed on the Word of God. And the Word of God reads as such. Then came Jesus, scribes and Pharisees who were in Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God through your tradition? For God said, 'Honor thy father and thy mother,' and he that reviles father and mother, let him die the death. But say, whosoever shall say to the father or the mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest have been profited by me, shall no wise honor the father or his mother. Thus have ye made void the command of God through your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'The people draweth nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching my doctrines and commandments of men.' And calling the multitude unto him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth man, but what cometh out of the mouth, this that defileth the man.' Then came the disciples and said to him, 'Knowest thou that the Pharisees, hearing this saying, were offended?' He answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let by alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. But if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch.' Then answered Peter and said to him, 'Declare us the parable.' And Jesus said, 'Are ye also without understanding? Do ye yet understand that whatever enters into the man's mouth go into the belly and is cast out into the vault?'" Amen. As we look at this scripture, it says, "Then Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees who were at Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.' Then he came to the scribes and the Pharisees and were at Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition? Why is it that you do not follow the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.'" When they eat bread. Amen. Jesus said to the scribes, he was talking at Jerusalem to the disciples, and for his disciples, he was talking about tradition. He was talking about the tradition of the elders. And sometimes in our lifetime, when we follow a tradition, sometimes that tradition is not the best that's not God, what God wants us to do as far as a tradition, following that tradition. Sometimes that's not what God wants us to do. And I'm thinking in terms of traditions. If there is a family tradition of getting drunk, a family tradition, what we do is we all gather together and we become intoxicated. That's tradition. That's what we do when we all come together. That is a tradition that when God looks at it, that's not what God desires of the family.
I think that sometimes, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they had customs and that had been in their culture forever, and they did things because it was a custom. So some traditions you have to go back to where they came from, and not all traditions or customs or habits are necessarily godly. The cleansing of hands. I'm still trying to follow you with that, but the cleansing of hands, those were some of the laws for cleanliness and social rules for health reasons and so forth. So you have like moral laws, and you have social laws, and you have spiritual laws. So sometimes the Pharisees and Sadducees would impose traditions that were not necessarily godly or spiritual commandments or laws, but it was just their habit or have become part of their culture. And maybe there are things that we do. Like I think of the one that the African-American people do, and that's like when they want to be excused from a meeting, from church, you know, during service, they'll hold up their index finger and like tiptoe out of service. And that's a tradition or a custom that a behavior that has become a custom or tradition in African American churches and assembly social groups, that we may have lost the meaning of why people did that, but we just do it now. And when people do it, everyone knows in our culture knows what that means. For those of you that don't know what it means, it was the way that during the season of slavery of African enslavement here in the United States, that people would be excused from a social gathering by holding up their fingers. One finger or two fingers, index finger, or the second finger, in order to say that they were going to the restroom, to be excused to go into relief themselves. I already said restroom, but there were no restrooms. But be able to relieve themselves. So they would indicate what they had to do, and they were tiptoeing out not to disturb the meeting, and then they, you know, had so long to come back. So we still carry on that tradition. Another one that's carried on in the, especially in the Southern Baptist Church, is singing Doc Watson in the beginning of the service, before service actually starts, when the deacons get up and they begin to sing verses from a song, and in the call and response style, which is our African style, we sing, repeat the words that they sung to us and repeat it back to them. And that's in preparation for worship, that everyone has become coming together on one accord, and we're preparing ourselves for worship. So that's purposeful, but that is a custom that we have, and some of us do it because purely because it's our custom, it's our tradition.
Amen. Any other comments on that?
But before we get started, Brother Elders is Miles. What scripture did you read? Because I have a hard time finding what you said. Did you say Hebrews?
I did say Hebrews, and as I'm looking on my screen, and obviously that did not come from Hebrews 6. So I must apologize. I have my wife looking up for the scripture that it came from. I just posted it, and obviously it is not from from Hebrews.
Okay, because I am familiar with the blind leading the blind. I went to Matthew 15. I thought maybe Matthew 15, or I think it was Mark 7 maybe he was trying to touch. But I'll let you find it and get back.
Okay, thank you, Pastor.
But to the part about
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But to the part of the washing of hands, at that time, if we're going to be on that accord with that, those religious leaders, it wasn't necessarily for cleanliness. It was for like more of a ceremonial type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily make for one to be clean right before he eats. He's just going through the motions. I recall a time when I was just a friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine, but he's Muslim. And he told me that before he goes to pray, he must, wash his feet, wash his hands, do some washing. So I said, let's say if you do not have the water around to do the washing, he said, well, then we must go through the ceremonial practice thereof. So what they were actually doing here was really just a tradition. Like you said, of ceremonial type thing, nothing to be of something of really, I would say, of importance. That's my word.
It is ritual cleaning. It is ritual cleaning and ceremony, and it is what I want to say. It is part of the ceremony. It is part of their ceremony.
Amen. Amen. Were you finished, Pastor?
Yes, sir. I was done. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And again, as they are communicating on that, they're looking at it as being a ceremony. And here God is saying, why do you transgress the commandment of God through your tradition? In other words, why is it that you do not follow the commandment of God? Looking at the scripture, I just want to get it correct. It is Matthew 15, and I'm thinking 1 through 17. Matthew 15, 1 through 17, and my apology on that.
Amen.
It says, why do you disciples transgress through tradition and elders? That for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And then he goes on to say, but he answered and said, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God through your tradition? So it's almost like they're asking, the disciples are, Jesus is saying, why do you disciples transgress tradition of the elders? Why do you overlook the tradition of the elders? For they wash their hands, they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And Jesus is saying, then what he's asking them a question again, but he answered, saying, why do you transgress the commandment of God through your tradition? Why do you overlook what God's word is over your tradition? Why do you overlook the word of God? The word of God says that you are to respond this way. For example, in terms of eating, there are certain foods. It says pray over the food. There are certain foods that they would not eat. And what God is saying is, Jesus saying his word is, when you pray, then it is clean. So why do you overlook your tradition to what I am saying? So, and here he's talking, you know, to the Jews because they have their tradition and they follow their tradition. He's saying that you don't follow, you're not following the Word of God. You're not following what the Word of God says here. You are only following your tradition.
They were picking and choosing. They would do the rituals Pastor, who is that? Pastor Miles?
Pastor Miles, yes.
That, just like Pastor Miles said, they were doing the ritual cleaning, but not observing other things that the Lord says. Like the next verse in verse 3, it says that you can. What does it say? And why do you break the command of God for the sake of tradition? So, for God said, I am your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But they weren't observing that. They weren't doing that, honoring their father and mother. So that they were being hypocrites, just picking and choosing what's good and what's not good. You can't take the word of God and pick and choose what peace is. And this speaks for today too. Pick and choose what's good and what's not good, what we need to change, and what's not right for the time, and what's right for the time, and God, if Jesus was here today, I've heard people say, if Jesus was here today, well, then he would be okay with some of the laws because these are the times we're living in. God does not change. The Word of God does not change. The Word of God is not modified for your generation. The Word of God stays the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Any comments? So we're looking here, we're looking at the Pharisees, and God is talking to the Pharisees, and he's talking about the law, following the law, and not the Word of God. And that was one of the reasons when I said, even though we were talking about a father to his children, I'm looking at in terms of the body of Christ. Let's look at how mothers nurture their child, how they nurture their child, and the child. You give guidance to your child as they are coming up. You don't do this. You don't do that. These are some guidelines that you are to follow. Now, as they are going through their lifespan, they are going to come in contact with others that are going to contradict what their parents have taught them. They're going to contradict that. And when they contradict that, there are some things that can happen. There could be consequences. There could be consequences by not following the mother's guidelines. Or the parents' guidelines. So I hope that you understand where I'm going with this in terms of trying to connect this word. We have 215. We can hear you in the background. Trying to connect this word with what's going on now. Even though that he's talking to the Pharisees during this time, he's trying to ask them, why is it that you follow the law? Why is it you follow the law? The law, in actuality, Jesus said, the law does not coincide with what the Word of God is saying. It does not coincide. Then he came to Jesus and the Pharisees who were at Jerusalem saying, why do you disciples transgress against the traditions of the elders? And my Bible says, then the Pharisees and the teachers said of the law came to Pharisees and the teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked. They came to Jesus and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? And so they're saying, why do your disciples break the law? Why is it that you have they not followed? They don't wash their hands before they eat. And then Jesus came out and asked them, that why? He's asking them, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? The word of God says that you are to respond a certain way in life. The word of God says that we are supposed to conduct ourselves a certain way in this life. The word of God says that when we come up against opposition, that we are to respond a certain way. Now, on a natural, when our children go out, when the mother, because that's where the nurturing is, the mother sends the child out, and all of a sudden they go to school, or that child goes to an environment where they are involved with other children, other peers. They know what the guidelines are. They know what the rules are, but the key is, are they going to follow the household rules, or are they going to follow the rules of their peers? Are they going to change up for that time? We know that each and every one of us, we were born by a woman, a mother. We know that we've gone through our own struggles in our own journey, that our mother has given us guidelines to follow, and we know that we have diverted from time to time. Come on now, I'm talking to you. You know who I'm talking to. Diverted from time to time. But you know what? We got back on track. Why? Because we saw that the direction that we was going was not in the right direction. We know that we were the direction we were going, we would eventually be lost. But guess what? If we get lost, guess where we have to come back to? Guess who we have to be confronted with? The law of the parent. We have to be confronted with that. And God is saying here to, he's saying here to those of Pharisees, and they're asking, well, you know what? We have a law. We have a law here that we follow. We have a tradition that we follow. And God is saying, well, okay, this is your tradition. Why do you not follow the commandments of God?
And then the other piece with this is that they're so worried about the ritual cleansing that they're supposed to go through, but their hearts were not clean.
Amen. And it gets
so they're worried about what the outward appearance being clean, like the bathing and the washing the hands and washing the face and washing your feet before you eat and everything. About the outward cleansing, but their hearts were dirty. Their hearts were unclean, and the way they treated mankind was unclean, and so rather than having all the laws, because Jesus came to set us free from laws, and I'm doing air quotes. But if your heart is pure and your heart and you have the mind of Christ, your social behavior, your spiritual behavior will line up with Christ.
Amen.
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 Also, when we speak of food, being clean and the rituals that go along with that, we're concerned about what goes into our bodies. But anyway, it's more important as to what goes into the body, but it's more important what comes out of the body, what comes out of your mouth. Is it God's word? Is that clean, what is coming out of your mouth? Are you following God's law, God's purpose for us? Are you speaking life? Speaking love?
Or your thoughts?
Your thoughts.
Your actions.
Yes. All those have to line up into what God, the directions God has given us, the word God has given us.
I think
otherwise we're engaging in hypocrisy.
Amen.
You tell you something. I'll tell you something. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I tell you something else I like that you had talked about earlier. There's a way that you have to respond to when something comes to you. I like the way Jesus did this. Verse 2 and verse 3, when they came to Jesus, they asked Jesus, why do your disciples, transgress, the tradition of the elders? Jesus handcuffed them with their own question. Well, why do you transgress the commandments of God by your traditions?
Absolutely. Amen.
So he handcuffed them with their own question. So first of all, they had to be careful of who they were speaking to and what they were speaking about. Because, see, one thing you don't want to do is mess with a parent's child.
So, one thing
you don't want to mess with them, because these are little boys. The way I look at them, they're disciples, they're followers. So he had come with their own questions. And the way I see it, one thing that I've pulled out of this from my revelation is, you want Jesus' true teaching to his disciples to bow down to your peer pressure. You wanted the teaching. I'm going to use your analogy, brother moderator. You want the mother's teaching to her son to go out the window so the son can bow down to your peer pressure. That's not going to happen.
And then
on top of that, not only did they know the law. They knew the law, but then they want to do something else. They want to add to it by the ceremonial stuff. And it's clear in Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is the shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and be found to be a liar. So by them adding to it, they was wrong all the way around. And the master handcuffed them with their own question.
Amen. The scripture goes on. Another commandment. God says, honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Okay, let me look at this another way. Now let's bring it home. When you honor your mother and your father, it doesn't make a difference what that father has looked like in your life. It doesn't make a difference what that mother may have looked like in your life. You may not have been in agreement, but the commandment of God says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, in this time, death was actual death. If you didn't follow the commandment, it was actual death. But I'm looking at it, death can also be spiritually.
Spiritual death comes first.
You listen. The worst thing that you want, my brother, my sister, the worst thing that you want to do is to have a spiritual darkness to the point where you're blind, your eyes have been blinded. You cannot see because you are spiritually dead. And it says, honor thy father and thy mother. That means that whatever situation they are in, that you honor them. How do you honor them? You might honor them by making sure that they are well. Going to check on them when they're in the nursing home. Making sure that they have food to eat at their house. Looking out for them when you think or you feel that there is something that may be lacking. They may be in their sick bed, and you're going to check on them. Uh-oh, you know what? I got somewhere I have to go, somewhere I have to be. But because you choose to honor your father, saying that he is pleased with you. Now, come on now. You know I'm talking the truth. It's all about how we respond to our parent. And the word of God says here that if you do not honor your father and your mother, you will live a spiritual death, meaning that you'll go through life and you don't know what's going on. You're going through the motions, but you don't know what's going on. And further and further and further away from the word of God. Now, we have a choice. We can either choose to follow God or we can choose to reject God. That's the choice. There is no in between. So you need to determine who you will choose to serve. Who will you choose to serve? Honor the one that brought you into this world. Honor the one who gave you life. And that's what God is saying to telling them the commandment here. Honor the father and your mother. When you honor it, that means that you will not be put to death. And then it goes on to say, but you say that anyone who declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or their mother with it. Thus, it is to nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. We write back to traditions. I have a tradition of going to the gym at a certain time. But wait a minute. There's something that my mother or my father needs, and I'm not willing to put it off because I'm putting self first. Self first. Let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters. It's a struggle as we go through life trying to be your mother's child. It's like climbing, struggling and climbing, trying to maintain what you have been taught and not diverting from that. I truly believe that when you honor your father and your mother, that there is nothing in this life that you can't have. I'm willing to go out and say that.
I'm with you on that one. Amen. See, because the way I view it, honor begets honor. But see, God will not honor those who do not obey his or honor his commandment to obey your, or to honor your parents. I just
Amen.
Truly believe that.
Amen.
Because, I mean, if we really truly, if any one of us who's listening, none of us asked to come here. Not one person on this line listening or speaking asked to come here. We are here by the love of the mother and the father, one for the other, who brought us here. And for that in itself is a gift. And we should honor that we are experiencing this. See, if we honor our mother and our father, honor begets honor, as I said, then that pleases God, and then God will honor us with blessings. Because what's the first commandment with promise? Honor thy mother and thy father, that your life may be long upon this earth? I believe the first commandment was promise. And the first thing that God established was what? The family? So he wants you to honor your parents. Now, you may have ungodly parents. They may tell you something wrong. But you're still supposed to at least honor them for them giving you life. And you pray for them if they're wrong. And you're still honoring them. And God will do the rest.
I'm saying to you, those of you who are listening by internet, those of you who are listening by phone, that when you honor your mother and your father, if you want to have a peaceful and a good life, make sure that you honor your father and your mother. That is the key to life. That is the key to life. I hope you can understand what I'm saying, the key to life, because they're the ones that brought you into life, and that is the key to give you a good life. Honor. Honor. But here's the other flip side. Then Isaiah goes on to say, it says that what Isaiah said is, he calls you a hypocrite. When you say one thing and do another. It says, I am honoring my Father. Now let's go back to our Heavenly Father. I'm honoring Him. I honor my Father. I honor God. I have surrendered my life to God. Uh-oh. I didn't feel like getting up on Sunday to go to the house of God. Uh-oh. I didn't pray for that person. I can keep going on and on. I can keep going on. And here's what Isaiah said. Listen, listen, my brothers and my brothers and my sisters. We're not throwing a weight on you and trying to throw you into the river, okay? We're not putting a noose around you. We're not doing that. What we're doing is we are learning from each other, and we're talking about the Word of God, and the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we're trying to light up our path so that we can make our journey more pleasant. That's what this is about. That's all this is about. And Isaiah goes on to say, these people, the ones that say that they love God, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are merely human rules. He's talking to the Pharisees. They're saying that they honor God, but yet they also honor their tradition. They have a heart. They say they love God, but their heart is not for God. They love God with their lips. They're following God with what they're saying, but their heart is far from God. Because when it comes to tradition, it's totally the opposite of what the commandment of God is saying. They're going in the opposite direction. And Isaiah is saying here that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now come on, my brother, you know that God is not looking at our lips and what we say. He's looking at our what? That's right, our heart. He's looking at our heart. And Jesus calls on to the crowd. He says, listen and understand, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them. Let's go back with what Isaiah said. Let's go back with what Isaiah said. Isaiah said that they honor me with their lips. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What comes out of their mouth is not about God. They're saying, I love you, but in actuality, their heart is saying, I want to do my own thing. I want to do it my own way. I want to have it my way today. Tomorrow will be different. I'll act different tomorrow. But today, it's about me. Today, it's about me. And Isaiah calls that a hypocrite. I'm not talking about you. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about you, but then I am if that fits. Then the disciple came into him and asked, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Do you know that the Pharisees got upset because of what you said? You're not going to follow our tradition. This is what we've been doing for years, and you're not going to follow it. Who are you? Uh-oh, let's go to the flip side. Okay, my child is out there. My child is out there trying to be liked by the peers. So what my child is doing is trying to follow the crowd and their rule. The house rules is null and void. That's a struggle. That's a strong. That's why it is important to have a strong foundation. It's important to have a strong foundation. Then it goes on to 13. He says, he replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Meaning that if you're not planted in God, you might be getting away with it now. But what the word of God says is, there is what's called judgment day. Judgment day. And according to what I know that my God wrote, he says, there is a death, there is a resurrection, but guess what? He's coming back. And everything that's not rooted in God will be pulled up. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. And then it goes on to 14, it says, leave them. They are not blind guides. If the blind lead, the blind both will fall into the pit. And you know what the pit is. That's hell. That tells me that the war is on. And let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? God wants all of you, not part of you. God does not want you to walk one day upright and the next day you've changed. God is looking for consistency. He's looking for a pure heart that loves him. Not one day acting one way and the next day acting another. Because God can read our hearts. We can't read our own, but God can read our hearts. And I pray to God that when God looks at my heart, that he sees a servant who is willing. A servant who is willing. A servant who feels that he's sold out to the word of God. Mother to child, when you send out your message to your child, all you want is your child to follow your guidelines, because the guidelines you've given, mother, to your child are the guidelines to success. They're the guidelines to succeed in life. And if your child chooses not to follow those guidelines, there are going to be consequences. There are some mothers who've lost their child because they chose not to follow the guidelines. And that's why it's important that we constantly pray over the household and the children. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Every day. I'd like to make a comment, a tribute to a cousin of mine, James Hobbs, who has just gone on home. He's gone on home. And he was one who has always been blessed. He's always been blessed. Everything that his heart desired, he received, above and beyond. And I truly believe it's because he had that love for his mother. I remember him sending, even though that he lived a distance, he would send money every month to put in the household because he knew that she was struggling. He knew that she was struggling. And he would send money every month. And because of that, God blessed him mightily. Because he honored his mother, even though they weren't together. So I send this tribute out to him. And one of the things that I remember that he used to always talk about, and it was a poem by Langston Hughes, and he talked about Langston Hughes talked about the struggles that her child goes through. And the title of this is called Mother to Child. Well, son, I tell you, for me ain't been no crystal stair. It had cracks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time I've been a-climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't sit down on those steps because you find it kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I'm still going, honey. I'm still climbing, and for life, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Langston Hughes. That is a tribute to my dear cousin J.W. Hobbs, who has gone on home, and one day we are going to be there and join in with him. Any comments before we close? Amen, amen, amen. We are, we do thank you for tuning in. Those of you who have listened by internet, please remember we have archives that you can go to and share with a friend, share with a friend. And I just believe even with a son or a daughter, just have them listen to it and ask them, what do they think it means? Have them interpret it. Ask them to interpret it. And I truly believe that just by listening and asking them to interpret what they heard, that God will turn their hearts to him. I truly believe that. I believe it's like a two-edged sword that begins to cut, and God does the healing. So again, we do thank you for tuning in. Go into the archives, Blog Talk Radio. Then you type in, we feel good. Remember, we love you. But God loves you.
It's so hard to love. I can be.